Well, good morning out there, family. How good it is to be with you all on this beautiful day the Lord has made. For this is a day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, He is more than enough. Hallelujah. We have seen just so many miracles lately and God's healing on miraculous ways, and I just give Him praise. I was thinking about that last night. After I got home and I was washing the dishes and mopping the floor before I went to bed.
Wow.
And I was just sitting there, man, I was like about to have church just thinking about what God's done in like the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's just been the miracle after miracle and salvations and deliverance, and not just here but everywhere, and just what God's doing in the earth is just oh my gosh, I'm just I about ran through my mop floor a couple times.
Hey, look at.
And so it's just so good. God is so good, and I just give Him praise for all that He's doing in the earth this morning. July 29th, 2025. I doubt she's listening yet, but a big shout out to my wife. It's her birthday.
Amen.
Happy birthday.
And so I thought it was yesterday, honestly, because I knew the date, but I thought yesterday was the date. So
that's,
I woke up.
Don't tell us.
Well, I woke up and I said, happy birthday. She said, it's tomorrow. I said, no, today's the 29th. She goes, no, it's the 28th. And I said, no, today's the 29th. And what it worse was, I told Josh Newt the day before it was my wife's birthday. So he texted her and said, happy birthday. Day too, and so him and Katie just thought that was hilarious.
I do too.
But I did tell her again this morning.
Well, you got close. It was the thought that counts. This is that
I was
place.
Trying.
Yeah, it's
I was
the
trying.
Thought that counts.
I was trying. Well, it is Tuesday morning, and we got the crew in the house with us. We might just have church in here.
Amen.
Miss Jeannie, how are you doing this morning?
I am better than most.
Hallelujah. I like your shirt.
Do you like it? I am, you know, redeemed.
And let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Say so,
I'm saying so.
Yes, Miss Karen, how are you?
I am doing great.
Amen. Me too.
Just Tony. We're going to call her Tony.
Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
Tony
love
the
it.
Tiger.
Yeah. And then we have Miss Hannah. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was just thinking, no matter what's going on, I'm seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
And then we've got a special reunion this morning. Miss Crystal has joined us in the room. Hallelujah.
So glad to be back. I was thinking about it. It's been 3 years.
Yeah, it's great
well,
to have
it,
you back.
Well, it will be 3 years in November, I think it is. Yeah. So it's,
it don't
I'm
seem
excited.
Like that because we still hear you on a commercial
I know, yeah.
and everything, advertisement.
Yeah. I'm still part. I'm still here.
You're still here.
Your voice is still here.
Yeah, that's right.
I think you got a spot or two, and then some legal IDs, and you were such a big part and did a just terrific on the radio. So it's really good to have you back in the studio, Miss Crystal.
Thank you so much.
Very good to have you back. And so we are just anticipating the Lord to move in mighty ways. Good morning to the 91.1 family there in Hinesville, Glasgow, to the 98.3 family in Owensboro, Kentucky, and then, of course, our local family here in 91.5 in Hardinsburg, Litchfield. Good morning to those listening via the app. Also, just praying in the new school year that's coming. I know BCA starts not this Friday, but next Friday. I know, Miss Crystal, you're hyped about that, right?
Yeah, I'm getting there. I haven't been back to the school. I've kind of been hiding. And so Jason said, you want to come back this week or next? I said, next.
Wasn't even a thought, was it?
No, it was not. I did go by there yesterday. Of course, nobody was there on a Monday. But anyway, yeah, so, yeah, we're getting excited for the new year.
That sounded like instant in-season and out-of-season. Yeah. Just ready to give an account.
That's right. I'll be there in spirit.
But no, it is. We're really praying into the school year, praying for Bethel Christian Academy, praying for the tri-region area, and all the way into Glasgow and Hinesville, of course, and Owensboro and Davis County, and all these. I just believe God for protection and divine protection. Mm-hmm. And I believe God for great revival among our kids, and just believing God for an awakening among a generation that they may see Him in all of His beauty, and their hearts would be captivated by who He is. Amen. So we're really praying into this new year. In this new school year, and I would just really urge everybody listening this morning to pray with us. Mm-hmm. Just continue to pray with us and really pray over our kids, because here's what I tell them a lot with teenagers. You're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of the day, and that we're not waiting for you to become the church. You are the church.
That's right.
And we need them to stand up and be bold and be call forth the men and women of God that's inside of them. Call forth the men and women of courage that's inside of them. Call them forth. That's what mothers and fathers do. They call forth. They pull out. and we got to commission them and set them apart. And so if you got kiddos, what I like to do before my kiddos start the first day of the school is we always, you know, of course we do a lot of Bible studies and prayers in the house already, but there's always a special prayer mm-hmm. before the first day of school. Yeah. And I think we should really be praying over our children. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to, when they're asleep, go in there and anoint their doorpost and anoint them and pray over them. Give them the blessing before they're going to bed. Go give them the Father's mm-hmm. blessing, dads. Come on, step up. That's what mm-hmm. I think that's one of the biggest things that shifted in our house right here, not just in Wilson House, but here is just the way men of God are stepping mm-hmm. up in this place. And I see it all over. Real men are just, it's something that's real going on in the earth, and it's not forced. It's just organic, and men of God just arising. And I just love to see that. Amen.
I think you're seeing it everywhere. I mean, brother, that's right. Brother Jeremy coming in and giving his testimony. Yeah. And
it's everywhere.
It's just, you see how when the dad gets right with the Lord, the rest falls in line.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
And I know just, because I mean, I can, just what's happened in the hearts of the group of men that's in that Man Plan Challenge together we've been walking through for almost 30 days now. That'll be 30 days in the next week. And what they don't know is another one's getting announced Sunday. Surprise. We'll keep walking through another 30 days. But the way our hearts have grown together in that challenge, that man challenge, and you feel each other's back. And some real have stepped up. And Brother Paul, he's just on fire. Mm-hmm. There's ain't no other way to say it. Like, he's just burning for the Lord right now. And it's just been so great to have that accountability, but also that fellowship. And
right.
We've got the men's breakfast this Saturday morning at Farmers at 8:30. Now, half of us have literally changed our whole diet and changed our whole lifestyle, and it's not for 30 days. A lot of us are making this change permanent in how we eat and how we just everything about it. So we're trying to figure out what we eat now when you go out to eat
at
breakfast.
Are you having spinach for breakfast?
if they have leaves, I will do it. Spinach is in a lot of my meals now, a whole lot of my meals.
Wow, you eat green now?
All the time.
Green.
All the time.
Jesus is coming back soon.
That's what Eliza, no one said that. I said, we're just trying to figure out when Jesus is coming back.
I wish you could convince Todd. Could you maybe speak to him?
The Holy Spirit can. Yeah, that's what I've learned.
Yeah, it's
it was
the phrase that really I've heard it a couple times, but then when the Holy Spirit speaks something to you, when somebody speaks something, it's one thing. When the Holy Spirit, and he says you got to stop living to eat and start eating to live.
Yes.
And
yes.
Let it fuel your body. Mm-hmm. And so just watching things like no added sugars,
right.
Eating green food, watch what you there's really healthy things out there.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. proteins, and I found a protein cereal yesterday that's like terrific for you, and you can find stuff out there. It's a little bit more, but you're willing to go pay $12 for that cheeseburger and fries, and if you'll pay that, you can pay $6 for a box of cereal that's mm-hmm. good for you. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm learning by God's grace. And but it's so much easier when you got a group of guys doing it with you.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and,
support team.
But it's not just about how what we're eating. That's the I love it because they're constantly engaging about. We've done Romans, Ephesians, and John this month together as a study. And they're just constantly engaging mm-hmm. there and just mm-hmm. sharing, like, what's this scripture? This scripture spoke to me. Or I was on the phone with Brandon, and Brandon had, like, 4 scripture questions on Romans yesterday, just diving into it. And that's the kind of stuff you just, gosh, mm-hmm. it just gets you fired up because you know lineages are changed at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, I can keep rambling, but I'll shut up. We're going to get over in the book of Mark this morning. And then after Mark, I'll just loose these ladies go and hush the rest of the morning.
Well,
I'll just listen.
Loosed, he said.
I'll loose them and just let them go.
That sounds like a charge.
You'll have an hour and a half. Just go for it. Oh, man.
Standard just went up, it sounds like.
Hallelujah. We are in the Gospel of Mark all the way in chapter 11. And we are at the money changers.
Yeah, we got to backtrack a little to the money changers.
Because we kind of got caught up in the fig tree, just how it was leafy but had no substance. And
mm-hmm.
we're never called to look the part of leafiness, but we're called to have real fruit that people can eat of. And the question that we answered, I mean, the question we all had for our own selves yesterday was when we left the broadcast, is are we somebody that when somebody is hungry, because Jesus was hungry coming to the tree, and the tree had nothing to offer. It had the appearance of being fruitful with the least, but it had no fruit. And Jesus cursed it. And the question of the day yesterday was, are we somebody that there's fruit on the tree to eat when somebody hungry comes up to it? Or are they leaving empty? And that's a solemn question. That's a sobering question. Verse 15, and then they came to Jerusalem. And now remember, this is, we talked about this. We introed this a little bit yesterday. You have the Passover feast and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which are two different things. We've merged them together, but they're actually two different things. And they're two different feasts right next to each other. Then you have the first fruit, and then you've got into Pentecost. So there's that spring feast that represents his first coming, then the fall feast that represents his second coming. But the week before the unleavened feast, they would take great preparation and great time to actually clean the house out. Mm-hmm. And this was Jesus really walking in the fulfillment of the preparation for the feast of unleavened bread, because at this point he's clearing the unleavenedness out of it. He's clearing the sin. He's cleaning right. the temple. He's looking at it, and it's really a fulfillment of the feast right. and the preparation for the feast, because everything Jesus did on the crucifixion, all the way from that to the first fruit, because even the first fruit, and I love this, is when he got up out of the grave, he's the first fruit, right? And then there is those that come together afterwards, and you can get into all the way to the Pentecost, and they would take the barley loaf and they would take the leftover barley loaf and let it sit for a little while, and then it would be merged because all the leaven had been purged. And so the only way you get the actual coming together to make the two loaves, which is the Jew and the Pentecost and the Church of the Gentiles, is you got to have wheat from the barley harvest, and you got to have the new wheat coming in there. And so there's a lot of prophetic indicators and the fulfillments of what Jesus did. But here, cleaning the temple, it was no mistake he did it on this week, because right. this is the preparation. This is the second time he's cleansed the temple, though. He did it once early in his ministry. If you go back to John, it was very early in his ministry. Some people think it was his first Passover feast he celebrated after his coming to the ministry. And you can go back to John and realize this is his second time he's cleansed it, but both time has come right in this preparation of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so anybody want to hop in here? I'll just set it up.
I'm going to say that was news to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
If you go back to John, it looks like the first time he cleansed the temple was, it looked like it was the first Passover he's ever celebrated. And so
I wasn't aware.
Yeah, if you look back, and unless I misread it that one time, but I can look here in a minute to confirm I'm right on that. But I do believe this was his second time he's actually wow. cleansed the temple. But I could be wrong. I'm wrong sometimes. Okay, my wife says a lot. But I really do think I studied that the other day. So Miss Jeannie's okay. now got me cut. Doubt me here.
No, I'm not.
I will.
To
I will look. Yeah, I think it's in John. It's in John. I do remember it's in John.
John 2, I think. John 2.
Yeah.
Somewhere around in there.
I think so. And that would be early in his ministry.
Okay. I'll check it out.
And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple, and began to drive out those who sowed and those who bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables, the money changers, and the seats of those who sowed pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, It is not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. Jeez. And the chiefs, priests, and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him, because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out to the city. What? I love, like, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're immediately, the chief priests, they're very upset because now he's disrupting the money system.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the temple had become a money maker. And what was once supposed to cost you something became very cheap. Because at one time, you were, in technicality, raising your own sheep. You were raising your own sacrifice. You were coming and bringing it. You were ready to come to the house of God with a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. When you came to the temple, you brought it with you. They had developed a system, mm-hmm. said, let me have your offering here already waiting for you. All you have to do is pay for it. And he has perverted the house of the Lord. And instead of being a house of prayer and a house where they bring their offerings to, it was a house where they come and could purchase something mm-hmm. then. And they were trying to purchase what cost them something. And it was a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of fulfillment in this. But I really do feel like even in the modern day church, like, you give me this money or you bring this, and we're supposed to bring the anointing. We're supposed to be the living sacrifice. We're supposed to come to the house of God not empty-handed. And it's more than just giving a dollar. And that's what it's become. It became a system that was very perverted and enriching. And it became a system where the chief priest and the scribes and the temple was become very profitable off of. But it was becoming a mockery, and it was becoming a party, and it became a marketplace.
I had read somewhere where it said, too, that even when people would bring their offering with them, the people sitting there at some place, they would deem that sacrifice they had brought as unclean, blemished. They would call it blemished. But we got back here some unblemished, mm-hmm. and they would sell them the unblemished, mm-hmm. but take that which they called blemish and put it back there to be sold again.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a cycle, you know, that they did.
And I think Jesus is also trying to talk to them about the heart issue in this, because if you go back, this scripture just popped in my head in 2 Samuel 24, talking about David, when the king wants to give him, and he says, I insist on buying this from you. That means it cost me something.
Right. Yeah.
He said, I insist on buying it from you for a price, for I will not offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing.
Yes.
You know, and so there's a price to pay when we sacrifice and we give. And so apparently, as Pastor Aaron's saying, it wasn't really costing him anything. You know, it wasn't a sacrifice for him anymore. And it's not that Jesus wants us to hurt or to be in pain at all the time, but he wants it to mean something. It's a heart
absolutely.
Thing.
It's
a
living
issue.
Sacrifice
right.
when,
exactly.
when it costs you.
Lay down your cross and follow me, which means, it's, again, I keep saying it over and over, it's a heart issue. God, I want
always.
Everything you got. I want everything you got, God.
Yeah.
Your way.
I picture one like Abraham, who the Lord said, go and sacrifice Isaac. It's not like he could get to the temple where they're going to worship
right.
and just buy it there. It cost him something That's to right. load the horse. It cost him his servant to come. And then when his servant's like, and then he didn't even let his servant come up with him. He says, you stay here and we're going yonder to worship. It cost him something. He had to carry it. And in the house of the Lord today, I want to be careful on this, but it's like we're paying the worship team to worship for us. Because we tithe, they do our worship. We're tithing, we're giving, and we're going to let the preacher do all the work. But in reality, we're all to bring an offering of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. We're all to bring an offering of praise. And it's like we the worship team and us was talking this past Sunday morning. It was like we've got to come with worship already in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
If Sunday's the only morning you're worshiping, you're not worshiping, you're pretending.
Mm-hmm.
And you are just putting on a show. But it's like if you're worshiping with the same passion on Tuesday night when nobody's around as you are on the stage on Sunday, now you're tapping into the glory.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, how can you be putting junk in your life all week long? And it wasn't a rebuke. Nobody is. I'm just saying, right. like, that's our conversation having to have. Like, I think in this season, we're going to come with something that cost us something.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming with a worship that's laid down, because worship is not the three or four songs we sing on Sunday morning. It's the lifestyle we lead into it. And
it's what we're
coming.
Created for.
Absolutely.
You know, it's who we are. You know,
it's
absolutely.
That place where, you know, I remember one time I asked in a Sunday school class, did you come today prepared to worship?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And, you know, it's a laying aside of something. There's something that's being laid aside. You know, a lot of people come to church on Sunday morning, and I'll just speak from personal experience. Sometimes there was a lot of fussing and arguing that went on behind the scenes before I got there.
Sure.
And when I walked in the door, I wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
I had not prepared myself to worship the Lord in any way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
In any way. I just went to church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can even tap into here when Jesus is starting to clear the temple. It's like, he's like, this should be a house of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You've turned into a den of thieves. You're stealing from the
right.
people. You're manipulating the people. But also, it's an indicator prayer had left the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, prayer had left it. Mm-hmm. It was just a well-oiled machine that was working at that point. And it's like our statement we're living by for, what, 2 or 3 weeks now since the Holy Spirit really led us into it, is that we are leaving the land of the comfortable into the land of the unknown. And we have made that statement. We don't know what it's going to look like on Sunday anymore. Like, we don't care what it looks like, as long as if he goes left on Sunday morning, we're going left. If he says, you go up there and preach first, Aaron, we'll preach first. If he says, don't preach, don't preach. If he says, like, that one Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit said, go play piano. Nobody else, like, three of us is in there. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it just flowed. Like, right. The Holy Spirit started to fall. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was a system that was well-oiled, and I would rather have a absence of system but an utter reliance on the Holy Spirit. This is a house of prayer. This is my dad's house. This is what dad wants. This is what the father wants. There's order, there's decency and all that. It's not chaos, but I am saying, like, we have this well-oiled machine, and sometimes we take prayer right out the door because it's just working so well. Mm-hmm. And I want to be cautious of that. I don't want to build the church on the back of men and the hands of men. I want to build it on prayer, fasting, and utter dependence on the Holy Spirit to empower us and to walk into all of his ways.
We've been meeting now every morning for prayer for, I don't know, probably going on toward a year. But what's coming out of those times, mm-hmm, is instruction, mm-hmm, direction,
yeah,
brokenness. I remember just one morning in particular, and we were just in a kind of a solemnness, I guess.
Yeah.
And I heard that old song, Give Us Clean Hands.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I just walked over and picked up the guitar and just started singing, Give Us Clean Hands, Give Us Clean, Pure Hearts. And we just all of us that were there, we just broke and everybody began to lay out on the floor before the Lord. And so many things were birthed out of those prayer times.
Yes.
That we're actually walking in right now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I've always believed if I can just get in that place of prayer,
mm-hmm,
that I'll know what to do next, that I'll know, mm-hmm, which way to walk here, because, yeah, he'll get it to me.
Yes.
You know, and so I think we really miss out if, mm-hmm, we don't take the time for that part of it.
Absolutely.
Because that's where you're going to hear from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that place of seeking his wisdom. It's, mm-hmm, it's you're seeking his direction in those kind of places. You're seek, what is it you always said? He said, if you need wisdom, ask me.
Yes.
And he'll give it to you. But in that place, you are seeking the knowing of God in the direction of God.
That's right.
Seeking him.
He's faithful.
That's right.
I think, yeah, we don't like to wait on the Lord.
That's it.
Yeah.
We don't. We like the fast-paced everything, mm-hmm, and we don't want to wait because it's hard and it, you know, we start to lean on our own understanding. Mm-hmm. But something I liked about what this passage of scripture, what my study notes were talking about, was in addition to the normal business traffic that was going on, a lot of people would use this, or they think that they may have used this, the temple court, as a shortcut.
Just to walking
get
through.
To get where they were going. Oh, yeah. For their own, wow, for their own, mm-hmm, benefit.
Yeah.
And, like, that word shortcut was just like, wow. Right. Like, mm-hmm, how much do we try to take shortcuts, mm-hmm, with the Lord and, yeah, just brush things under the rug or cut corners and just try to do things our own way, you know, and, wow, use even the Lord just for our benefit, mm-hmm, you know, seeking his hand and not his heart. And, mm-hmm, I think it just all speaks together of, I just liked how that note,
right,
brought that,
you know,
out.
Yeah, what you're saying right there, when you were saying that, I thought of so many times how many people, you know, because if you minister to people very much at all, you hear these things a lot. And they come through the door, and the first thing out of their mouth is, I need God to do this for me.
Right.
And that's a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I mean, I understand people need help. I don't mean to take away from that. But sometimes they don't want to go the process of knowing him. They don't want to, yeah, go the way of giving to him their heart or whatever. They just want to get to the part where he blesses me. So, mm-hmm, can you pray for that?
Yeah.
Kind of sounds, yeah, like the narrow way and the broad way. You know, yeah, just kind of like, it's hard to go on that narrow.
Yeah.
You know, it's that, I mean, again, Jeannie said they sang it last night, but it's that song we sang Sunday, I Trust in God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My Savior, the one who will never fail. He'll never fail.
That's right.
You know, blessed assurance.
So good.
You know, Jesus, I mean, it's not. And it's that place where we don't want to wait. Trusting God sometimes takes waiting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but I, th- Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's just it's for the best.
That's right.
For the best.
Yeah, and I think if you could go to one underlining statement that undergirds every single thing that's happened in this passage of Scripture, is the awe, reverence, and holiness of God had left the place.
Mm-hmm.
Who He was, His weightiness, the weightiness of being in His presence, the weightiness of being in prayer, the weightiness of being in surrender to Him, the weightiness of being in His house. And we are now the temple of God. Mm-hmm. And that weightiness should walk with us.
Amen.
That weightiness, mm-hmm. Again, a phrase that us in the worship team was talking about Sunday morning before service. And this is a phrase I heard somebody say, and that phrase stays on my heart all the time. Live like there's a dove on your shoulder and you don't want it to fly away. Honor the dove that's on your shoulder. Honor the dove that's with you, being the Holy Spirit. And really just, I think that's a key word. Like, my kids are not perfect by no means, but one thing we drive home is honor. Like, mm-hmm. honor for each other, honor for one another. My kids need to honor adults and all these kind of things, but I think it's all a reflection of our honor for the Lord and the allness of who He is, and that we produce a culture of honor and respect for each other. But more than that, we want to produce a culture that's honoring the Lord, because you teach your children to honor the Lord, you don't have to be around all the time, because they have the revelation He is. And I'm going to honor Him with what I watch, and I'm going to honor Him with what I say, and I'm going to honor Him with my life, and I'm going to honor Him with what I dress like, and I'm going to honor Him with what I'm watching on television, and I'm going to honor Him. And I think that's a question we adults have to ask. In my opinion, this is me, I love the house of the Lord. I love the house. I love gathering with the body of Christ. I pray for our sanctuary. I anoint our sanctuary. If you go to our doors, there's just oil everywhere. I don't know how many people's anointing them throughout the week, but there's oil just dripping over all of our door frames. And it's a true story. Like, it's just, I don't know how many people anoint. I mean, I love that. I think we should. 100%. It's holy ground. But we're also holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to have the same kind of seriousness about His holiness every single day in our own lives as we do as the house of the Lord. And Jesus is saying, I'm flipping tables in your own life, because this become a place where it's a house of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what He done here? When He flipped everything upside down, He made them aware of something they weren't doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there is, you know, I'm not saying they obeyed Him or they even give Him a second thought, but there were people there who understood that day that there's more to this than what I'm giving it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and so speaking of these things, there's growth. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people that need to hear this word, and because they belong to Him, because their hearts belong to Him, they'll go, you know, I'm gonna honor God with my words. I'm gonna, you know, so the challenge is being dropped out there. And that's in one way, in one respect here, He said to them, this is not going to get it.
Yeah.
You know, not before my Father, it's not. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there were people possibly that walked away from there, took their life a little more serious before God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true.
So we set a standard.
Yeah.
We do.
Absolutely.
It's not that we're above it. Mm-hmm. In the sense of that we can't make a mistake, but yet at the same time we walk in and we set the bar.
That's right.
I do. I mean, you know, we don't allow off-color jokes. Mm-hmm. We don't spend too much time talking about what we ate at McDonald's, because we get back to what God said.
Oh, don't rub it in.
Come on.
You know, I used to say a lot. I remember this being on my thinking as I would say, you know, the word of God is hard. This is hard. And I remember one time the Lord said to me, I don't want you to ever call my word hard again. Mm-hmm. My word is weighty.
That's right. I love that word,
that's
weighty.
Right.
My word, and the thing of it is, as we were talking this morning, I thought about that word. It's weighty. And when you carry that, your word is carrying weight.
That's right. That's right.
You know, it's not a light matter.
Mm-hmm.
You're weighty.
Yeah.
You know, you're packing something, and it's not just a feel good.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, Jeannie, right there, there are people waiting to hear this weighty word.
Yep.
And I don't need to tell them it's hard. it's weighty instead. Right. It carries something with it.
Sheep without a shepherd.
That's right. And you know, and again, like, this season is not about legalism or religiosity. Mm-hmm. When we say stop watching that, stop listening to it, Paul reminds us in Corinthians, it may be permissible. It may not even be sinful to do what you're doing. In some of the stuff you are is watching, but even some of the good stuff, that quote unquote good stuff that you're watching, that don't have inappropriate things, I think this is the season where you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and realize, it may be permissible, but is it profitable? Mm-hmm. Because if you want to just walk life as normal, just keep doing what you're doing. But if you're going after a life that has the anointing to break yokes, and you're going after a lifestyle where seeing lives are changed and seeing radical things happen in your life that by the hand of the Lord, and you're wanting a life surrendered to Him, there's going to be some things that are permissible but not are profitable, and you're going to have to surrender those as well. These are the season to where there is no cost that we're unwilling to pay. Whatever we need to lay it down, because Jesus is not an ornament on your Christmas tree. Jesus is the centerpiece of our life. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste this one thing that God's given us. And we only have a short time. You may think it's a long time, but in the long scheme of eternity, it's there.
And it's getting shorter.
And you know, there's a young lady who just got born again lately that me and Heather know, and just amazing what God's doing in her life. And I took her a book. She works with Heather, and I took her a book the other day, and I prayed. I was like, Lord, just point me to the right book, because I was like, I wanted to give her a A.W. Tozer book, but I thought, okay, what does she need? Like, I want to give her the Tozer book, but what do you want me to give her, Lord? And she pointed me to the book of John Piper. He pointed me to the book of John Piper for her, Don't Waste Your Life, which I read when I was about her age, and it changed my life. And because of the words of the Lord, that just the way the Lord spoke to me through it, and I gave it to her, and I said, "Hey, they're helping." I didn't mean she's like wasting her life. I just, So I was like, but I just feel like, man, we have one life to give, we have one life to live. We don't believe in reincarnation. We don't believe we get a second chance. We live this one time, and it's not about. I'm not sitting like we said Sunday morning. The disciples were reclining at the table, and Jesus rebuked them. And say, go and preach the gospel. Get up out of the table and go. And then whenever Jesus is getting ready to ascend, they're just watching into the heavens. He just preached them for 40 days of the kingdom of God, and they're watching. And it's like, it's such a beautiful scene. They were never called to watch into the heavens. These two angels says, why are you gazing up into the heavens?
Good word.
Yeah. You know, we've been talking on Raise a Hallelujah about treasure.
Yeah.
And as you're saying that, you know, when you say, well, I'm not saying that watching a show is bad, and I'm not, you know, everybody be convicted by whatever you do. Be convinced by whatever you do. Mm-hmm. But what do you, that word treasure there just means deposit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a deposit that you will draw from, that God will draw from.
Yep.
I mean, He will pull on what's in you of Him. Amen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if all you do is watch the NCIS all the time or whatever that people watch, and what's in there to pull from?
Yep.
When you need something, what are you going to be able to pull up out of you that says, oh, that's right, the Lord said, are you going to be able to bring that up, or are you going to be in despair because that's all that's on those shows, you know? Mm-hmm. That's all that's been feeding you and putting into the deposit.
It goes along with that coffee cup word Miss Gretchen shared.
Oh, so good.
About what, you know, if you bump into someone and what spills out is what you've been putting in there.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It goes right along with that. And it makes me think about the scripture, where your heart is, there your treasure lies. Awesome. Or where your heart lies, there your treasure will be. Mm-hmm. So where our heart is rooted in, that's what we're going to be depositing in and investing in, and then that's what's going to be coming out.
Right.
Well, there. I've told this before, but it's just a little piece of, you know, logical stuff. But I read somewhere that you can lay on the couch and you can watch TV, or you can lay on the couch and not watch TV. If you're laying there not watching TV, you burn more calories doing not watching TV than you do as if you were watching TV. Does that make sense?
It does.
So what it is because something else is directing your thinking. You don't have to put any effort. You don't have to make it. You don't have to think about it. All you have to do is follow that. And, you know, the thing is I mean, I understand it's important to come into the house of the Lord. It's important to come together. It's important to do all of those things because God said so. But, you know, one of the things that I've learned, and sometimes I've learned it more than once, and sometimes it was hard to learn it, but I can't rely on you to cause me to think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to dig into this thing. I have to put some effort, even if it's my thinking. I can't rely on Jeannie to be the word that it can lead me and guide me, but I have to put my hands on it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I have to touch it. It can't be a teacher. It can't be a preacher. It can't be anything else but me and the Lord with each other.
Yeah.
And I gain weight that way.
Yeah.
I gain something from that. And the Lord doesn't always tell you to do the same thing he told me.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I got one more thing to say, then I'm going to hush and let you women go for it. Yeah. I'm just going to listen. I'm excited just to listen. One thing I've learned from, I listen to a lot of podcasts now. There's a lot of really good podcasts mm-hmm. for men out there, like Godly Men and Godly Men podcast. I mean, there's just tons of good material out there. So if you're a guy out there, there's Better Man podcast. There's some other things in there, pastors that lead these and men of God that lead these. And some of them talk about some health things too. And I really love those. And this one guy said, if you're going to, and I was listening to it because I'm actually trying to build muscle right now. And so I was listening to it, and he says, you have to suffer 4 days a week or you're not building muscle. Huh. And I was looking at this, and I was thinking about this spiritually. So 4 days a week, I'm literally ripping my muscle and tearing it so that new muscle can come. You're forcing the resistance. You're walking. You're doing the things that are uncomfortable. You are putting the work in. You're giving yourself. And I'm thinking, like, that's Paul, man. Like, Paul was laying himself down as a drink offering. He was pouring himself out every single day. And I love this, though, because here's the thing that a lot of people don't do well in weight training. I learned this, is they got to take at least 2 days of what's called active rest. It's not laziness on those 2 days. It's called active rest. So instead of ripping muscle, you're going for a walk, you're taking a light jog, you're running a mile. So like on Sunday morning, I ran a mile before service because that's my light active rest. That's a day off. It's just running a mile. And so you're running a mile that morning. On Wednesday, I'll run a mile or whatever I can get in. And so those are the active rests, and that is necessary for you to produce everything in your body that needs to be produced. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, 4 to 5 days a week, we are to be pouring ourselves out. But yet we assemble together on Wednesday and Sunday for active rest, where we're participating in the equipping and the coming together. And you need those active rest days because it fuels your metabolism. Right. It fuels your muscle regrowth. It fuels your muscle recovery. And you don't grow if you don't have those two active days where you're getting fed. Your body is feeding itself. Your body is repairing. Your body is equipped. And I'm thinking, man, that is the body of Christ. But so many of us live 7 days of rest. And so many of us are just sitting there going through the motions of life. And I'm telling you, you need to get uncomfortable. You need to get into awkward situations. You need to force yourself into play. Well, I'm just not an evangelist. I don't care if you're an evangelist. Anything. Paul says, all do the work of an evangelist. Mm-hmm. You have the possibility. Today, you will be out in public somewhere, and you will have the opportunity to share the love of Christ with somebody. You just got to have your eyes open and your heart open to be able to be pointed in that direction. There's a neighbor that needs the love of Jesus. There's the family member that needs the love of Jesus. There's somebody that needs prayer. There's somebody that needs something. And it doesn't take you going to Africa to be a missionary. It just takes you going across the street.
Right,
and you can just leave your driveway and walk into the next driveway, and you're a missionary because you're on mission.
That's right.
But so many of us just live in this constant phase of active or even passive rest. And I'm thinking of the Eli syndrome, where we just get so big and we get so full on the things of God and get so full on the blessings of the Lord that we're we're doing nothing with them. Mm-hmm. And I told Joe yesterday on the phone, we were talking about some things, talking about what's next, Holy Spirit praying into it. You know, what do we do next? Where do we go from here with this outpouring that we're experiencing, the miracles that we're seeing? And we're like, where's that next step? Where's that next phase? Not trying to figure out what this, like, where is the Holy Spirit pointing us? Because that's what we're interested in now.
Right.
And it was like, I think the biggest thing is we just can't stay passive. Like, this thing's got to leave the church house and go into the community. These things have to go into homes. And it's the statement that was made Sunday morning. We're looking for megaphones, and we're looking for microphones, and we're looking for stages. He's looking for people that will end up in people's living rooms. He's looking for the ones that will go into the addict's home. He's looking for the ones that go into the highways and the byways. He's looking for the one to go set up the tent in the middle of nowhere. He's looking for the one that's willing to go into the supermarket and go into the restaurant with a mission in their bones. Mm-hmm. And when they go, I feel like a lot of times in the body of Christ, I told you my last statement, so it was a little long, sorry.
You know what we said yesterday.
Yeah, I know. But I think so many times we're wondering, why is the miracles not here? Why is the glory not here? I tell you, it's not because he's not there. It's because the commission was, they will follow them that believe, and they go. Mm-hmm. It was go into all the world, and when you go, the signs and wonders follow you. But we always just stay in our little houses, in our comfort zones, and we just, where it's safe to pray for people and it's safe to this. Go out there and get into the radical moments to where you're on the street with somebody who's suffering, or go into the household where somebody is passing away, or go into the household where everything's falling apart. When you go with the power of the gospel and on mission, I'm telling you, the weight of heaven will back you. Mm-hmm. But as long as we keep playing churches in our nice little cathedrals and we just pretend to be this thing of leafiness but have no fruit, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to say, it's time we arise, and there's a remnant that says, mm-hmm. I'm leaving.
It is happening.
I'm going.
I know. It is definitely happening. Mm-hmm. Crystal, you could probably attest to this, but when you said active rest, I mean, sometimes, I can be so busy in a week, but active rest for me, I don't have any reason to do it. I don't have any reason, and nothing's pulling on me saying, oh, I got to get this word together for this Bible study, or I got to, oh, I'm leading worship today. Oh, you know, or all, but you just go home and you begin to worship. You go home and you begin to seek him in the word, not because I have to bring a word,
right,
but because I want to be with him. And it to me, that's an active rest. When I start worshiping at the house, when I just left the whole big worship thing, right, but I still went back home, and it was a worship was still up inside of me.
Right.
Yeah.
You sit there by yourself just preaching to somebody. My poor goats and sheep and all that, I preach to them all the time, sitting out on my screened-in porch, because it's, and I love what Karen said. It's just weighing on my heart, because it's, when you said it's a weighty word, it made me think of my son is here at Bethel, and he's now on the worship team, which y'all just don't know the testimony in that. Yeah, if I could only tell you. You don't need to know the details. I'm just saying. But he was telling me about it. I don't know what day this is. What's this, Tuesday? I think it was Sunday night. And he said, and it was a weighty word. And I say that because it stayed with him. And when it's a weighty word, and when it has the anointing on it, when it has the oil on it, and that's what we need to pray for, is that in our times of resting and in our times of soaking in and getting what we need from God, mm-hmm. when we share that weighty word, it has the oil on it. It has the anointing on it, and it stays with that person. Mm-hmm. And he was able to tell me about it. And he doesn't talk at this time in his life. He doesn't really talk too much about spiritual things. Sometimes he does with me, to me, right, to me. But he did. And he was sharing with me that they were, you know, he said it wasn't a bad thing. He wasn't fussing, you know, but he was telling us about our life. Now, as mama, I have told him that all his life, but it wasn't for mama to say. Mama's words were not weighty.
Right.
God's words, through the anointing and through using man, a man that he could relate to, it touched that heart. Right. So maybe you've told your child, you know, all his life, don't watch that. Where's your heart? What do you do? You know, all these things. But when that person that got that labor into that harvest comes with the weighty word, mm-hmm. and that's what we need to be praying for. God, where is my word? Where is your word in me that I can send, you know, give to somebody that it stays with them? And I promise you that's going to stay with him. Mm-hmm. Because for him to share that with me, it was burning in his heart.
Well, he took notes.
Right, right. And and we raised him in the full gospel ministry, so it can't say he never heard that before, but it was a timely thing, and it was a weighty thing.
It got watered.
Right, yeah,
and
exactly.
Then harvested.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, the oil you're talking about, I think the watering is the oil.
Yes.
Like, that's what...
I just mean the anointing, the touch of God on
the anointing is like those seeds were there because they were planted so many times.
Yeah.
But it takes that oil to, like, ignite it.
Right.
Like, set it ablaze.
Let it come alive.
There's the water.
There's a man that just came to our church. His name's Bobby Hayden. And he is an old rock and roller. And he was transformed radically. And he has a ministry called Cardboard Box Ministries. Because he came off the streets and all. But one of the things he says, and you all are reminding me of it right here. You know, he says, "You've been set up, homie." Yeah, and that's what's happening. You know, you think, "Well, I told him that for years. I told him that for years. He never listened to me." No, you set him up.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell him that when I see him. Yeah. You were set
up,
homie.
Can I clip that? Do I have permission to go back and make a clip of that?
Absolutely. He'd probably be okay.
You are
with
set
it.
Up.
I know
homie.
He won't care. He won't. Homie.
No, just that part right there. You've been set up. I want to hear it again.
But it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It is the process of the seed sowing and the watering, and God gives the increase,
that's right.
All of a sudden there it is, and you're like, why didn't they listen to me?
Right.
Because you were setting them up.
That's right. And I don't care who reaches him. I mean, as long as he gets reached, and he is. He's being reached in a way that I've never seen, and so it's awesome.
Amen.
Don't you rejoice in the fact, I understand you've been telling him this all these years,
but,
you know, when you start looking at it from a different perspective.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, I've been a part of that. Mm-hmm. And again, there's a you're rejoicing that he's
there,
but you've had your hand
on
it
for
sure.
It's like a garden I planted for years, but now I'm seeing the fruit because the God's touching him. The weighty words are on him, you know.
You know, my children, I've preached to them. I've given them the word. I've lived it before them. And I've counted on that in a lot of ways for that to come, you know, to be in them and be able to stir them in this late in their adult life. But what I'm counting on more than that even is for God to put somebody in their path.
That's right.
I'm counting on somebody to come alongside them and tell them maybe what I told them.
Right.
But I'm really counting on those things.
Yeah.
Because
it has to be the word. It has to be the weighty word. Mm-hmm. It has to be. Because for us, what they hear from mama, and even though our words are right, and even our words, and there are times when I'm sure our words hit them, and they know. But other times it's like Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. That's all they hear. And I know I did, because my mom, she used to get on my last nerve, and everything she was saying was true and right in the word. But it wasn't until someone else talked to me, and then mom and I studied the word together did that. But it wasn't time for to it hadn't been watered yet.
So sooner or later you will get credit. For
that's
it.
Right.
Well, you know, it's
I don't
like
need credit. I just want
well,
to see
but
them come,
mom,
man.
Mom would say things to me, and I hated it.
I know.
I mean, like, don't say it again.
Yeah,
don't say
exactly.
it again.
I heard
but
you.
Then there was a day that came and said, you know, she was right.
Mm-hmm.
All this time, she was right.
Right.
You know.
And I find myself quoting things she said. Yeah. You know, the very things she said to me I didn't want to hear.
Uh-huh.
I could hear myself talking to my kids about it, you know. But then the weighty word comes to them in their timing when it's right.
But don't you want that? Don't you? I mean, don't you love that weighty word?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you love saying that weighty word? Knowing that it's the truth.
Right.
I mean,
I'm giving it to somebody else's kids.
Yeah.
I am.
But it's that place, you know, like you said, we're talking about treasure. You know, that's that place where you have dug in the field. It's where you've taken the word of God and you've gone in there and you've dug for it. What did you mean here, Lord? What is this supposed to say to me? And it's the digging of the treasure. You're finding the treasure yourself so that you can give it out.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the way. Gold is weighty.
I mean, it's for you for a while.
Right.
You know, until you get strong enough or whatever. And that, because those words are weighty to you at first.
Right.
And they shouldn't be all our life. But, I mean, they're especially weighty when you're beginning to, and it's coming alive. And Hebrews 4:12, it's active and sharper, and it's hitting you right. And then after a while, you're like, I got to share this with somebody. You know, I got to. And so you ask God for those divine appointments. You ask God for those weighty words and for whoever it's for. Mm-hmm. And it'll stay with them, because I can remember words that I've got. And I could, you know, and set up homie will probably be one of them.
You know, set up homie. Divine appointments are not as hard to find when you're walking out of overflow.
Right.
It's still going to come back to those times that we're talking about, when the act of rest or whatever. When we're at the house. Yeah, it's going to come out of there.
That's right.
It's that place where he got on the boat to go across, and then he got over there and they were there. It drew them to him. His words, you know, it said there in the scripture we were reading this morning, they were astonished at his doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
They were astonished by what he said. What he said drew them to him, mm-hmm. because of where he had been, where he had gone,
right.
What he was sitting in. It was from that place, but it was the weighty words, the wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that before.
Right.
You know, it was the weighty words, mm-hmm. but it came from that place he had been,
right.
with his father.
Right.
You know.
And the weighty words, love, the weighty words, mm-hmm. conviction, the weighty mm-hmm. words, so many things that it can just prick that heart, you know.
Right. I was reading in my, are we good on time?
Yeah, we got a few more minutes. We'll go at our heartbreak at 8.
Okay. I was reading it in just my, you know, walk through the Bible thing, you know, uh-huh. separate from everything else. But I started doing that, and I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I would. But now that I'm doing it again, it's like, and I know there's people who probably did it 100 times, but I just never did take the discipline of it. But now that I'm doing it again, I'm starting to see things. But anyway, today's reading was in Zephaniah.
Hello. Who reads Zephaniah? I'm just kidding.
I'm about to set myself.
I'm just kidding.
He says this about the city, you know, these people. He says, woe to her, the city, that he's talking about a city here. She's filthy, she's polluted, whatever. They are to the oppressing city. But here's the part that got me, was she obeyed not the voice mm-hmm. of the Lord. So I went the opposite. I do that in scripture all the time. Mm-hmm. What he had against them, then I went back and said, okay, so this is what he wants.
You know?
And so what does he want? He wants us to obey the voice of the Lord.
That's right.
Receive correction. Trust in the Lord. And draw near to him. Mm-hmm. Draw near to him. And so when I read that today and flipped it, I realized that this is the place that he's requiring or asking us to be in. And they received not the correction. Can you receive? Mm-hmm. She said something about correction or conviction. I want our services, our times together, whether it's a Bible study, a small group, or it's the big house, church, that his presence becomes so
mm-hmm.
weighty.
Mm-hmm. I know.
That I don't have to tell you you're in the wrong place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this has really been on my heart. I don't want to have to come over there and say, you know, adultery is wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, can the presence, the weighty presence of God
convict
you right here that you're going to have to do something?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because are we willing to have those hard conversations? Yes, we're willing to have those hard conversations, but then it just gives Satan fuel.
Mm-hmm. They're judging.
You're judging me. Yeah. Or you think you're better than me, all that. But if it comes from the inside, mm-hmm. if it mm-hmm. comes from the presence of God in the room,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching too far.
No, you're not.
But on the flip side.
Give me the flip.
I think when the Lord prepares you to receive that correction, no matter how hard the word is, it don't matter what Satan tries to do. When it's like a divine appointment
mm-hmm.
of like God's prepared you, he's already been convicting, but then somebody gives the word that's like the hard word that's like, okay, all right, Lord, I knew I was hearing you, but I'm really hearing you. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I've been in that before, and I pray that with that, like even though there's just the glory is just bringing the conviction, that we learn how to have those hard conversations, but in a way that's just, we know without a shadow of a doubt the Lord has set up that appointment.
Yeah. Well, I just don't want, I want people to quit being comfortable in sin in the presence of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want them to be comfortable. Yes. No. You know, yeah. It's fine if you're struggling or whatever and you're wrestling with it, but don't.
Oh, no.
Be,
to where there's that weightiness. Yeah. Yes.
But you know, you've got to come into that place where you're carrying that. When you walk, you know, we were talking the other day about Jesus when he went to the well with the Samaritan woman. You know, he said, this is where I'm going. Mm-hmm. You know, he went this way. Why are you going that way? I'm going this way. And so there were, I don't know if he knew he was going to meet her there.
I'd say so.
I know, I do know this. He was willing to meet her there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I know that he was willing to meet anybody anywhere. And, you know, he sat there with her and he didn't blast her with her sin.
Right.
He said, I know about it.
Mm-hmm. That's probably enough.
I know about it. I know about it.
He
you
was
know,
offering
but
her
he
something.
Had a conversation with her. He didn't present her sin to her head on a platter.
Yeah.
I know about. Wow. I know you speak. He said, "You speak truth. Mm-hmm. You're telling me the truth here, but the man you're living with now is not your husband either." Mm-hmm. He didn't shy away from that, but he didn't condemn her in it either.
Yeah.
He didn't bring words that were.
Yeah,
I know. He's. I know the truth. Where are your accusers, woman? Where are your accusers, man? Mm-hmm. Then neither do I. Neither do I.
He had
the exactly. He had the conversation, and you know, people talk about when he stood there with that woman, and they were all picking up their stones, and he said to them, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." That wasn't a. It's just a statement. A true statement he made.
A weighty statement.
A weighty statement. And it was just the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's where I find myself ministering these days, is is offering them something more than what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I know that, like I said, we need to sometimes have the hard conversation. But at the same time, if there's any place that's leaning toward him, you know, I said this to a girl the other day that I know for sure she'll just living in sin. I said, the Lord wants to know, and he prompted me to say this, the Lord wants to know, will you follow me? That's all I said. I walked away and let him do what
That's
he does
right,
right there. Maybe it's coming to a place where I am going to have to say some things. I don't know. But I've been seeking the Lord for his presence and his gifts to operate in such a way that conviction and convincing will come up out of her instead of me having to point out what's going on here. And but anyway, I long for that more than I long for pointing out.
Oh, yeah.
know, but we do pull them from the fire.
Yeah.
You know, we ain't going to leave you there. I'm not leaving you there, but I do want...
I think that's the right heart to have, though, to have that heart that you don't want to be the one. Like,
no.
You would rather the Lord just speak it. And I think it's when your heart's like that you don't want to be that one just going around pointing the finger.
But I think that my heart can be that one, and at the same time, you know, again, it's not that I want to say it to anybody. I did it one time, but not the same way. Jesus had the heart toward a Pharisee and a Sadducee when he went in there and said to them, "Woe to you." He went with the same heart with them that he had with the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's hold this. We gotta go. But that's so good. So Tuesday question number one, what king of Egypt attacked Jerusalem during King Rehoboam's reign? Which king of Egypt attacked Jerusalem during King Rehoboam's reign? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after a quick break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Jesus. Amen.
Well, we are back here after that break. And we got to answer Brother Denny. Denny Ramsey. Congratulations.
Morning, Denny
Ramsey. Got it. And that answer was drum roll.
Drum roll. He was drumming, Aaron.
King Shishak. I hope that's how you say that. King Shishak.
King Shishak.
Second Chronicles.
Shishak.
It's like Meshach.
And Abednego.
Meshach's brother. Shishak.
But I have a question about that. Why do we not, whenever I was going through that story, I taught the young kids the Hebrew names of the three boys. Because we just don't. Like in
we
Sunday
don't talk
school,
about it.
We never got taught their Hebrew names. It was only the Shadrach, and I know it's fun to say Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Probably because we can't say those
other things. That's exactly what it is.
We're from Louisiana, Kentucky.
Yeah. But at least, even if we don't have to read them, at least make sure to point out that those weren't their Hebrew names.
Right. You know? Why are we leaning toward the world anyway? See how that shows right there, don't it?
Yeah. I mean, they are. I won't ignore it. It's fun to say. I mean, Brandon Lake put it in a song, like it flows the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But
I heard that one.
Yeah, it's like God's got my back, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Yeah, he kind of gets in. It's not a rap, but it's like
he needs to stick the graves in the gardens.
Get back in the garden.
That one's got oil. Yeah.
He's even in that song, you know, I trust in God. If there's blessed assurance, he's my fourth man in the fire. Yeah. You know, we even reference it there.
I love that song.
I do too. We're doing it Sunday.
We used to do it all the time.
Yeah. Did you do it last night? No, we did it last night for practice. Yeah. For Sunday.
Yeah.
Or for Wednesday. I don't know. I forget.
The Lord allows you to do
whichever one we're going to do.
We had one song. We had a new song that we were so excited to do, and the Lord didn't let us do it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I love the new one. I know a name. That can silence every. Oh, that's the one I love.
Oh,
I call
yeah.
you Jesus. I call that's you. Good. I call you Jesus. Yeah.
Well, this one
I call you healer. That's
it. Wasn't a new song. It's not a new song, but it was just a new song for us that we haven't done before. But it's like somebody was like, today was so good, but I was so sad we didn't do that. I was like, don't worry, it'll happen.
It'll come.
You know, our worship leader, who I love. She gave to the congregation what the Lord was showing her, and our worship has changed so much, and the way it's even done. But she said, you know, we're the musicians. We got the instruments up here. That's all's up there,
right?
And she said, all of y'all are the choir, and it has really changed the atmosphere,
right?
And last night. They sang. I mean, they were the choir.
Mm-hmm.
They really were the choir. And it was, you know, we just all step back and just let's let the room.
Less is more sometimes.
Let the room have it, you know.
Amen.
And
it's an entrance.
Man, it was just powerful. Yeah. And I think we're headed to that. I think we're headed away from the stardom of it all to the all of us are in the place of worship.
Right. True.
Together.
True.
Together.
Spirit and truth.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We're moving toward it. Mm-hmm. We really are.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Amen. So I think it made the difference.
Yeah.
As far as what I was talking about earlier, that's why I brought it up. Because then the presence of God, the weighty presence of God began to move in the room.
Right.
Things started happening. Mm-hmm. Things that weren't planned.
Yeah.
It was a powerful time. And I want more of that.
Right.
I want more of that. Then the Lord can speak to me. And so many times, me and you, we experienced it right here, where all of a sudden you see, and okay, the instrument's gone. I'm not singing right now because I'm going where the Lord's taking me, and it didn't hurt anything.
Yeah, she'd leave me hanging though a lot of times.
No, it wasn't. And you did fine.
I'm just joking.
Me up there before too, you know. She just left the piano there. She went. The keyboard, she's gone.
Right.
But that's
I'm ready for that though.
See, that's what
you know, to just break out of the box like that.
Yes.
I know it like it shaking a lot of people up, but they're like, she's leaving the piano.
Where's she going? What's she doing?
They start to fidget, but
for the person when you carry that weighty word and when you say, I'm not going to leave the piano. I'm not going to leave the guitar. I'm just it will mess up the service. Right, well, when you do that, you go home with that weighty word hanging on you.
Yeah,
and if you're not careful, you'll begin to feel guilty.
Yeah.
So I learned that. I was like, I felt so bad for not saying the weighty word or doing whatever the Lord told me to do. So I learned at a young age, like, I'm not carrying that word with me. That did not belong to me. It was supposed to be given to someone else. And I carried it because of my appearance, of my reputation, or whatever. I'm worried about people, man-pleasing spirit that I had. And so now I'm saying, God, for many years I've just said, God, I'll give it. Sometimes I've been embarrassed because it looks like, well, that didn't do nothing. But then I'll have somebody come later and say, you remember you gave me that word? And I'm like, I really don't remember because it wasn't mine. It was a weighty word for somebody else.
Yeah.
So.
What we're talking about, I love that you used the box word. I love that word. And I said,
we're one.
I want to pass out. I told Jeremy this. I said, I want to pass out boxes to everybody in the room. Everybody that comes into the church, they're holding a box, right? And then we're going to all tear them all up.
smash party.
Tear your box up. Tear your box up. But, who cares if we go to silence in the middle of a song?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if the room goes quiet while you go give a word?
If God's showing up, my goodness.
That's
exactly right.
Start running. I don't care.
Crystal was saying there, too. You know, when you don't do that, you carry that word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that place where the word says it won't return void.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to show somebody something. And, when you don't do, and I think that applies with what you all are talking about here, when you don't leave the keyboard, when you don't do what the Lord's telling you to do, it's a weight on you. It carries weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's carrying some weight to it.
Right.
And it's whether you obey it, it's carrying a weight. If you don't obey it, it's carrying weight. If you know anything about it at all.
You can physically feel that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Physically feel, because when the Lord's putting something on your heart to share and you start kind of feeling, just the urgency, it is, you can almost feel a weight. Like, you mm-hmm. have to let it out or it's going to keep weighing really heavy.
And it's hard to be in that place when you're not allowed to either. And that's not a good place to be. Mm-hmm. And it will quench everything. It will, and so thank God for freedom. Thank God for pastors and ministers that will allow God, because we sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Have your way in this place. Lord. We sing those things, but are you really going to let God? Because it's going to be messy. And some people want structure, and some people are saying, God, whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. And we've all in this room seen services where it was messy.
It's God's order.
Yeah, it was not in order, but people were weeping on the altar. People were crying. I saw one lady crawl, and I mean literally crawl to the altar weeping. And she had a really bad past, and she was laying it down.
Oh, my
And
goodness.
We could have said, oh, my God, get her in the back room.
Oh,
But we did not. We said, in fact, it was actually a ladies' meeting. The lady said, leave it alone. Just keep playing. Because she knew enough that was weighty. That was what God was wanting to do in this woman. And she crawled. And then they were able to go over and minister to her. But if we just stopped it in that moment, because it was embarrassing, because people in the congregation were going, oh, my God, what's wrong with her? Mm-hmm. But the minister's the one that carried the word a lot of times. Carried the natural word, the word of God, and the word from the Lord. They knew enough to say, wait, that's God. Mm-hmm. That's not a demon. Because sometimes it is demons.
Yeah.
Sometimes they come to disrupt or distract.
Right.
This wasn't. And you have to be able to discern and know the difference.
That's right.
You know?
But you're so right. How many, I call you out, pastors. Hey, how many will allow?
Yeah.
Can God just interrupt what you thought you might do today?
Right. For fear of what people will say, or will they leave?
Or has it been too long?
Will they hold their tithe? Or will they, all those things, because they're very nervous about it. And it could be, because if you're trying to grow a church, most people want, couple of worship songs, the word, the children go to the ministry, and then you're out by a certain time.
Right.
And if you know, and that's traditional church.
Right.
But it's nowhere in the Bible that says you start it at 10 and you're out by 12, you know.
I've told this story so many times, and it happened right here with you and me at, in worship. And I was, we were, we had, the service was over, everybody was leaving, and we always stayed up there and played.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were playing the song, whatever it was, while people were leaving, I, the scene was they were all piling out the door.
Yeah.
All I could see was the people piling out the door.
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I'm ready to move now.
Mm. Mm. I remember that.
My God.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times has God been ready to move? He was going to do something, but we killed it right there because we thought it wasn't
time. It was 12 o'clock.
Or it was its past time, or the people won't stay no longer, or whatever. The Lord, or it's time for me to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Yeah.
And yet, God's doing something right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can, can't you see right there on the on that row right there that, that there's somebody falling apart right there?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Yeah.
That's the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God doesn't know time, you know. I mean, for him, he doesn't know 10 to 12. He does know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't care about it.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is, you know, give me time to prepare that heart mm-hmm. with the song or with the word or whatever's going on. Give me time to move. It take. I mean, somebody that's been through trauma or somebody that's been through, I don't know, divorce, financial, you know, ruin or whatever, they walk in a service, they're not ready immediately to say, you know, change your life, fall on your knees. It takes time for the Lord to begin to come in. Now, sometimes he can zap your good, but the majority of the time, you know, it's going to take the presence.
Yeah.
Stay on that song with the oil. Stay on that word with the oil and let God do what God does. And you'll be thankful because, you know, there's a church back home in Louisiana. They do that. And a lot of time, their church has grown, but they're 12:30, 1 o'clock because their worship may last an hour,
right?
You know, and it's like
I'm good with it,
because they're not moving, you know, they're not going nowhere until God says. It. Then they go, you know.
I've been on both sides of it,
Like
I've been the one, you know, when I wasn't on a team or on ministry or anything, going to the altar, and I've been like needing to stay there longer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, normally pastors or somebody will say, like, well, everybody can stay, but we're going to move on. But, like, it's kind of hard when you're moving on because you're just, there's more distractions that come when you're transitioning out of worship.
And he's talking now and you can't really hear what God's saying.
And,
they'll say, I don't want to interrupt anything that's going on, but.
And
very dangerous word in the body of Christ, but.
But I've also been on the flip side of probably stopping too soon, you know, and even though I feel like we probably need to be, I don't say anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, my prayer is that this is so on point what we're talking about because, you know, I had some deep healing that I needed when I was that person going up, you know, and I know that there's more people because for me, it's taken layers and layers and layers for the Lord to do what he needs to do in me. I mean, there's people who have been through so many things that I haven't been through. So I know that this is so on point, and I think this is where the Lord is trying to take us and get us to. And Miss Jeannie, what you're saying, we're saying about, you know, everybody was already leaving and the Lord said that he's ready to move. I feel like I've experienced that too. You know, he didn't speak that to me, but it's just... I've seen it, and even like after service is completely over, I was just thinking, like, what if he wanted to bring somebody in from the road? Like, what if it's not even about somebody that's even there? What if his presence is wanting to draw somebody in that didn't have any concept of the time and they didn't even know?
Or came to pick somebody up.
Didn't know when the church, when even service was, but he has an encounter planned for them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just so much, and what Crystal said, he doesn't work on our time, so it's so much bigger than our schedule. And we've all seen that too. We've seen the Lord do things that were just, you couldn't deny it was him.
Right.
Because he just
And what did the church, first church in Acts do? I mean, they gathered together and they waited on the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They waited on the promise to come. And it came. And they were all filled with the presence of God. And you can't tell me, it's not in Scripture that people weren't healed, that people weren't set free when that Holy Spirit touched them. It had to be, because that's the way God is. That's who He is.
He makes everything.
And so, but it says that they waited on the Holy Spirit to come. And that's why you have to have discernment, and it takes time to learn how to wait on God. It takes time, even as ministers, to learn, okay, we don't have to just keep going just because it's quiet.
And we don't have to rescue. Right?
Yeah.
Right. That's exactly right.
Just hold up a minute. Let that cry happen.
Yeah.
Let that, whatever's going on there, let's see what the Lord's doing.
We don't have to say anything or sing anything.
We are so busy about saving somebody from their hurt.
Yeah.
You know, when God's doing something, we want to run to their rescue by saying, oh, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, we have a saying in Celebrate Recovery, and it's anybody who has a hurt habit or hang up, and see, we'll all fall in that category. So that's why it's a misconception to think Celebrate Recovery is for addicts. It is, but it's for so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I used to be I didn't speak favorably of it, because I had been through AA and stuff like that, and it just
didn't work.
Just thought it was another program.
Yeah.
Just another program. But it is it's so much more than that. If it's done correctly and Jesus is the center of it, it is huge.
Yeah.
And anybody can fall into that place of hurt, or be hung up, be stuck in where you are, or have habits.
Right.
So,
and you know, you say, man, that's such a big word right there. I mean, the thing is that when we don't allow the Holy Spirit, when we stay in that place that's been talked about, this comfortable place so much, we give the impression to people that they're okay. You know, sometimes this habits and hang-ups, you know, I don't have an addiction as far as drugs and stuff like that, but the thing is that if I just come into church and we do the same old thing all the time and don't let the Spirit move, then I walk out of the church with a check mark beside I attended today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I've was thinking about it yesterday, that this religious system we have, this schedule that we have, this A, B, C, D thing that we have, is a numbing place. It numbs you. And there are so many people that I think that are in church now that don't realize they have a hang up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we've structured it so tight that there's not even time for any of that to be revealed.
Yep.
They checked off their box and they've walked out the door.
Turn up boxes.
Uh-huh. And you know, the Lord showed me something one time. I was doing videos with a friend of mine, and he showed me this thing. I kept hearing these words in my head, God in a box, God in a box, God in a box. And it was weird, because then after I heard it, everywhere I went, people were saying it. The preacher said it. Every time I turn around, somebody was saying something about God in a box. And, you know, he showed me this thing where he's hanging up on this cross, and all I can see is from his knees down. And I'm standing there looking at him in my thinking, my whatever. And there's this person that walks out of the darkness, walks up to the cross of Jesus, looks up at him, and Jesus says, "What can I get you?"
Wow.
And the guy standing there says, "I'll take a number one." And all of a sudden you see this box come down from the cross, and he hands it to this man, and it's a cardboard box, and the lid's flipped and, you know, set a certain way, and it's got oil stains on it. And the man opens up that box and sticks his hand in there and rattles around some things. And then the man says, "It's just the way I like it." And he walks off. And then the next person comes up and stands there and says, "Do you hear the Lord say, what can I get you?" And this box comes down, and this box is a big, it's so white, it's almost glowing. It's so bright white. And it's got this big ribbon on it, and the lid comes off of it, and inside of it is a life. It's a bouquet of flowers that's coming out there, but it represents a life. And it represents a life from the past and a life from the present and a life of the future. And as that person is looking at their life, the Lord comes down off of the cross and he's standing there and he says, I was there then. I am here now. And I will be with you here. But see, we want to hang God, or we want to put God in a box and not, and let him be what we are comfortable with and keep him in a place that makes us feel right and never let him out of the box, not trust him to let him out of the box and do what he and only he can do in a life. And that's in every aspect of life. It is in the life of a church, and it is in the life of an individual. It is in the life of worship. It is in the life of the Bible study. We don't let God out of the box. And he is saying, now it is time.
No doubt about that.
Let me out of my box. We're going to your uncomfortable. But he is comfortable there. But he's saying, you're coming with me. We're going to uncomfortable. Here we go.
If we hadn't went to uncomfortable, we wouldn't even be here.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you right now, I've become comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Absolutely. That's right. How many times have you said that?
I've said it a lot because this is exactly what happened.
You got to learn to be that. You have to be comfortable.
I'm not comfortable unless I'm in the uncomfortable place, because that's the place that I depend on him the most.
I'm not comfortable here.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable sharing these things. I'm not comfortable. But the Lord said, we're going.
Well, that was a vision, by the way. You know, that was a godly vision that he gave to you and spoke to you in that. I love it.
Me too. Me too. Good stuff. Wow. You never know you weren't comfortable.
Yeah.
But I'm learning to be uncomfortable because I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never, ever fail. You know, I'm learning to do that.
You know, you're built for the uncomfortable.
That's right.
And like for the things of God, when you're in the mundane and the comfortable and the stagnant, and you just feel like, ugh, like you just, it's not enjoyable to you.
Right.
That's how you know, and you long for the things of God. I remember just living in that, and just, it's just miserable.
Yeah.
It's absolutely miserable to be a person of God and be in that.
It's lifeless.
And it's so easy. It is easy to fall into it. But even when you realize that you're falling into that, it's like, I don't want to be here. Like, it's like there's this, it's almost like a fog that you can get in. You were talking about like watching the TV and how you're just, you're not even, your brain doesn't even have to think. I think we can, if we're not careful, fall into that, whether it's entertainment, whether it's just a cycle of life.
Well, we
that
call
we're
that
in.
Rest.
Right. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Deceiving. Deceiving type of rest. Mm-hmm. But whatever that looks like, I think sometimes we don't even know that we're on the path to that stagnant, comfortable, because we're so, our mind is so in a fog, in a daze. But when the Lord snaps you out of that, and when you are aware of the presence of God and the truth of what's going on, I'm so thankful that he draws you out of that. And that if you have him living inside of you, you have that desire to come out of that. You have that hunger for him, and he will never just leave you there. He will be faithful to continue to speak. And if we have ears to listen, it's just, it reminds me of this song. I don't even know what it is. It's something Jacob Swift to show me. There's no telling what Jacob Swift can show you.
But he probably sang it in the bread aisle.
He probably, no, he showed it to me at his house. And I don't know where this church is, who the woman is. I don't know what it is. I just know it's a ministry somewhere. And there was this song where they were holding their, plugging their ears and saying, la, like the people sing la la la, and they just kept singing, like, and they're not able to hear what the Lord is saying. It's a song. It's like with your fingers in your ears singing la la la, and it's basically saying like people who were walking around like that with fingers in our ears singing you know how kids will do that. They don't want it. Mm-hmm. La, 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 la. And then you can't hear. You can't hear anything. Right. And you're in like a, you're not in in tune with reality.
Do they ever take their fingers out?
Yeah. Yeah, they, I hope. But that's like the song, though. It's like a song that's talking about
but
that.
But it's a Christian song saying, look what the world's doing.
Okay. Yes, yes. Okay. And it's people that are just blindly, you know, with their fingers in their ears singing that. And I think that is definitely what the world's doing, because, I mean, if we can just look around and see that. But if we're not careful, Christians can fall into that.
Right.
Yeah. The Lord said somewhere, I don't remember, he said, be careful that you let nothing slip. You got to pay attention.
Yeah. I got a scripture that's probably, you know, it'll definitely make us have to take notice. But 2 Chronicles is one of Karen's favorites. But he said this about King Rehoboam. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Don't you think that so many times that's how we come to church?
Yes. Yeah.
We have not prepared our heart at all long before we got there, you know, at the house, before we get over here. We're bringing our hearts into a gathering where we're going to encourage one another. We're going to spur each other on. We're going to maybe speak a hard word to a good friend, whatever. But we prepared our heart
to
seek the Lord. What's the Lord want to do here? So many times in a church service, that's just where I'm always at, especially when it starts coming to a place of ministry. I'm like, inwardly, Lord, who you want to talk to? Lord, what do you want to say?
Right.
Is there something you want me to do?
Right.
I'm always on attention now. And what I've learned from taking that kind of heart, he'll use you.
That's right.
He'll use you.
Right.
Every time.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. You know, I love that word. I mean, that sounds like a, oh, man, what? You know, but that's a weighty word.
Yeah.
And it's real easy. He did evil.
Lord said it was.
He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord.
And the flip to that, and y'all know it. We all got the T-shirt. You shall seek me and find me.
You search for me with your whole heart.
When you search for me with all your heart. He said you'd find me.
That's right.
Oh, man. I don't know about y'all, but when I read that, I was like, okay, I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going to find
him.
That's
right.
I am, and I did.
Right.
And I'm not going to. I know exactly where I found him at.
Right.
So all I got to do is keep going back.
And sometimes he'll tell us that. You know, sometimes he'll say, go back to the last thing I told you
to
do. And then your life will straighten out.
That's right.
You know, because you'll be in a place of, God, I don't know what. And I've always heard that different ministers have said it, whoever has said it, but mainly God has said it. Go back to that last thing I told you to do. Go prepare your heart. Go, you know, whatever it is, you know, and then your life kind of lines out and you're like, okay, go be obedient in that last thing.
Right.
And then he can focus. He's not going any farther until you do what he's told
That's
you to
right.
do. And maybe you're in a circle. Maybe you're in that place where you're saying, God, nothing's happening in my, I don't know. And sometimes you're in a season of that, just in the waiting. But you go back to the last thing he told you to do, you know. If he told you to go give $5, if he told you to go on a mission trip, if he told you just to go be kind to your husband or be kind to your wife, whatever it is that he told you, take that child out to lunch, whatever, you know, that, and go be obedient in it. Then you'll see things will start opening up for you. He'll start speaking again. He'll start doing. But he's silent. Just like, you know, if you're in school, you can't go to the next page or the next chapter until you finish the last one and test it on it, you know. So you have to finish those assignments and do what God's saying to do.
That's him telling you how to get a hindrance out of your way.
That's right.
When you do what he says, this is eliminating a hindrance in your life.
That's right.
It's resolving it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he reminds you to. He didn't beat you over the head with it, but he reminds you, you haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
You haven't done that yet, Jeannie. And, you know.
Yeah, but I thought we were through with that, God. I thought we were through with that.
I mean, I went after it like, okay, but then you kind of let it fade away.
Doors start shutting or whatever. You're like, oh, I don't know if I have the faith for that. I'm going to move on over here. But he said, that's not what I told you.
Right.
You know.
Some people think that, well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Stop it.
You do know what it is.
You do so know what it is.
Yeah.
Because he will remind you of what he has said to you. He, why? Because he promised. He said, I'll lead you. I'll guide you. Yeah. I'll remind you of what I said. Right. I, you know, he said I'd do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when this the excuse, I don't know what to do, that just throw that away. Mm-hmm. Because you do know what to do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You do. I mean, you call that a rebuke. I do. And I rebuke it.
Well, here's one the Lord, and I think I've said it on here, you know, the Lord said to me one time, he said, you know all those can'ts you have in your life? All those can'ts you got going on? I know. He said, most of those aren't can'ts. A lot of those are won'ts.
Mm-hmm. I won't.
Mm-hmm. I won't do that. I won't. I won't. You call it a can't, but it's I won't. Mm-hmm. It's an unwillingness.
Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I mean, he hit me. He hit me square in the face with that, and again, in the best way.
Yeah,
it felt good.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's what the Holy Spirit
after
does.
The sting of it was gone, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to tell me a lie. You got a lot of can'ts going on. Mm-mm, them aren't can'ts; those are won'ts.
That's right.
You won't.
It's a good word.
Did you have a scripture?
Well, I had a bunch of them, but I'm not going.
See, Genesis
is she
the
guest? Is she the guest? See, you're the guest.
Oh, well, I don't want to change the vein. This is good. Whatever y'all want to do.
Well, I saw you look down there, and I thought you had something.
Well, I do, and we can go with it. It's you know, we're talking about weighty words, you know.
Right.
And what the Lord showed me, I always, every video we're doing right now, everything I'm doing, everything is Romans 4:20 for me. 4:20. And it's just Abraham. You know, it's him and his faith and how he, you know, hoped against hope and he called in those things of being that didn't exist. But what scripture gets me every time is he did not waver in Romans 4:20. He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God because he was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And I know y'all are thinking I'm going to go toward faith. And this is the faith. This is the best for me of like, but the section where it says strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God has ministered to me in the last 6 months so much, not just for believing things, but figuring out and asking God, what does it mean to be strengthened in faith? What does it mean to give glory to God? And I have been using this in everything. Okay, wait. An attack has come against me. I have a prodigal. So I see things and I'm like, no, I'm going back to the word. That's not what you said, God. That's not what you said. And I just give you praise and I begin to give him glory. I give you glory and I see that person as you see them, God. And I just move in that. And I'm just going to go and I just start, you know, praying his word. So what I kind of want to talk about, if we can, just for a minute, I'm going to go to Psalms 138. Jeannie let me borrow her glasses, and bless her heart, she doesn't see well.
These are weak. That's weaker.
Thank you. I left mine in the car, not
is that
thinking.
A little weaker?
Yeah, that's a lot better. Thank you so much.
Yeah, these
all right. So, I want to talk about
after
how
you used them. I can't see through them.
I messed them up for you. What I wanted to share is just something that God has been speaking to me. I've been in the Lord, and ladies at the table, not Hannah because she's a young girl, but we three ladies, and if you're just joining, Miss Jeannie Shelburne, Miss Karen Shrewsbury, and I'm Crystal Taylor, and of course Miss Hannah Hayes is here. But us three over here have been in the Lord a long time, and we know the Word, and we read the Word, and we understand the Word. But the Lord's been speaking to me about how important the Word is. I had a lady in a Bible study the other day, and she said, "Man, I wish my Bible looked like yours," you know, because it's all kind of torn up, marked up, and you know, because I've had it for a long time. And I use it, you know, and I don't say that to give glory to myself, but here lately the Lord's been saying to me about how important the Word is. It's not just I got my chapter in, I got my four verses in, and I've studied the Word, or I went to Bible school and I got this. But how important, this is what God says in Psalms 138. I'm going to go ahead and read 1-3. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your constant love and truth. Look at this. You have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. And the King James Version says, you've exalted your name and your word above everything else. The Word, His name, the name of Jesus, and His Word above everything else. So we're asking God, let me be strengthened in faith. Oh, I believe, I believe. How do you believe? Get into the Word. Look at Joshua 1. It says 1 and 8. Read the whole book, but it's awesome. It says, this book of the law, or this book of instruction, must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night. You are to make careful, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then, that's a key word, then, then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. We're talking about those weighty words. When we get in this word, because God says, I exalt it above everything else, then that word, it coming out of our mouths as we're speaking it, as we're talking to people, as we're giving that word, it's coming straight from the Word of God, mm-hmm. if we're putting it in us. And to magnify the Lord in His Word. And I don't know how to explain other than just reading the Scriptures. Psalms 119, verse 89 and 90 says, Lord, Your Word is forever settled in heaven. Or my Bible says, it's firmly fixed in heaven. Your faithfulness for all generations. So if it's fixed, the Scriptures of His promise of His children, for my prodigals, and the things that I'm praying for, I go to this Word. I run to it. And I say, God, Your Word says, so your descendants shall be. You know, Isaiah 49, for my prodigal, I say, the Bible says, I will contend with the one who contends with you, and I will save your children. He says, I'll give them a heart to know me. So why am I saying all that? I'm saying how important the Word is, that it's going forth, that I'm speaking it out. I'm strengthening my faith. Yes, that's a good thing. But I give glory to God, that I see things as He's things. And that's how Abraham was fully convinced. He was fully convinced because he saw things as God did. Now, God spoke directly to him, and that was an awesome thing. But He's speaking to us directly with His Word. Mm-hmm. And He's saying in Psalms 119, 105, Your Word is a lamp for my feet, a light unto my path. And look at 107. Lord, give me life through Your Word. Mm-hmm. That's where our life comes from. That's where our prosperity comes from, not just money, but living right, succeeding in everything we do. And it says in Psalms 119, 130, the revelation of Your Word brings light and gives understanding. So like Jeannie says, when we ask for wisdom, it says for us to ask for wisdom. I'm just jumping everywhere just real quick. First of all, Isaiah. Look at this for our children. Isaiah 59, where's it at? Isaiah 59, 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouth of your children or from the mouth of your children's children from now on and forever. And that's your heritage, your lineage. Mm-hmm. And Miss Karen said it earlier, my thoughts are not your thoughts, Isaiah 55, and your ways are not my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'm going to jump down to verse 11. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. One more, Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words became a delight to me and the joy of my heart, for I am called by your name. And you can find so many more scriptures. Yeah. That's just what I had on my heart this morning. Mm-hmm. And just saying, God, your word. I'm strengthened in faith. I love that scripture because it's about faith. And God brought me back to faith this year of just beginning to get back in I was raised in the 70s with my parents coming into the faith movement. Name it and claim it. Everything.
Girl. You know, I was just talking about this yesterday. Yeah,
everybody was proclaiming and you know, in Jesus' name. And they saw miracle after miracle. And we kind of got away with it because it got out of balance. Right. And then the prosperity and all, you know. So it got away. But God brought me back to it and said, just proclaim my word. Mm-hmm. And so when I see my prodigal in a bad situation, a really demonic situation, and I would cry out and I would pray, and then I'd just go to the Word and I'd say, God, your word says. Let me read you one more. Hosea, this is what the Lord told me. Now, I'm talking about a prodigal. Maybe you got a prodigal. I'm not going to get away from the subject, but I got to tell you, this is what I pray over prodigal, okay? This prodigal is in a bad situation, okay? And so I found this, and it says, this is the Lord. It's Hosea. He's talking about the adulterer, you know. And he says in verse 6, Hosea 2:6, therefore, this is what I will do. Because first he tells, you know, she's doing this, she's doing bad. And he says, I'm going to block her way with thorns. Mm. So put this in your prodigal. Maybe it's a he. I will enclose her with a wall so that she cannot find her path. She will pursue her lovers, but she can't catch them. Man, I got all excited because it's a bad relationship.
I mean,
so I'm like,
come on.
And she will seek them but not find them. Then she will think, I'll go back to my former husband or former God. For then it was better for me than now. She doesn't recognize that it was I who gave her the new wine and the oil. And I'm going to jump because he says a lot of things. Verse 10. Now I will expose her shame in the sight of her lovers, but no one will rescue her from my hands. Jump down to 14. Therefore, I'm going to persuade her. I'm going to lead her to the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her vineyards back to her and make the valley of Achor, or the valley of trouble, into a gateway of hope. There she will respond as she did in the days of her youth, because my prodigal has served before, as in the days they came out of the Egypt, out of the world. So I get a hold of that, and I just begin to say, God, your word says to run to the word. Strengthen my faith by speaking the word. Give glory to God. God, I see her as you see her, because your word says, I'll contend with the one who contends with you. That same scripture.
49:25.
Yeah, for this is what the Lord says. Even the captives of a mighty man will be taken, which means even the worst of the worst. Even the worst situation. You say, you don't know my situation. You don't know my child, my husband, my wife, whatever. It says, and the prey of a tyrant will be delivered. But I will contend with you, the one who contends with you. He says, make your oppressors eat their own flesh, and they will be drunk with their own blood and with the sweet wine. Then all flesh will know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Mm-hmm. So that's how we strengthen our faith. We get in this and we say, God, your word is so important. It's not just that we read 4 chapters a day, or we read this, or we can go around and somebody says, would you bring a word? Oh, yeah, I'll bring a word. So you go study, study, study. But every day you're saying, God, I eat your words and they become a delight to me. And I know that I'm called by your name. And then I can say in Romans 4:20, I am fully persuaded, convinced that what God has promised, he will do it. He is able to perform it, is what my translation says. And it says, but then he was credited to righteousness, and we are also, because we are his descendants. Mm-hmm. And so we can claim it and name it.
Mm-hmm. We did do that. We just talked about this. I was talking to my pastor yesterday about this very thing.
Awesome.
That come up out of the faith movement. Mm-hmm. You take what you got from that. And don't throw out everything.
Right.
I mean,
that's right.
It made the word of God come alive to me. Yeah. I mean, that was the place that I said, wow, I've never heard this before.
Right.
But then we were able to be led by the Spirit not to continue into in a wrong path. And you can trust God.
Right.
You don't have to be afraid of things. You just have to know that the Spirit of God's going to lead you.
Right.
But you read that scripture in Jeremiah. I want to give it to you in King Jimmy here, because he said, Jeremiah 15:16.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah, you sure you have.
I have not.
Your words were found, and I did eat them. Mm-hmm. This is the part I want to get. And your word was unto me joy and the rejoicing of my heart.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
So for I am called by your name.
That's right.
Lord God of hosts. So, but he said, the very words that I have found, I not only did I eat them, I'm meditating, I'm talking about them, I'm keeping with me, but they've become joy and rejoicing in my heart.
Right. Maybe your life.
No, my goodness. If you can get that cycle,
you've become fully
persuaded, for real.
Because, you know, go ahead.
You know, I was listening to our last week's broadcast, and Jeannie made this comment on there. She was talking about how she would get up every morning, and she's going to get back into it, but she would get up every morning and she would say, Lord, today I enter into my covenant with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this applies to every, because I was thinking about that, this applies to everything. You know, his word was given to us for all of those. I enter into, it was taking the word that God had given and proclaiming it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times what you do, you don't necessarily... you're not fully persuaded mm-hmm. yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you begin to say those things, and the thing of it is it's you can't get flippant about it. You can tend to be that way, but if all you've got this morning is, Lord, today I enter into my covenant with you, give it your heart, mm-hmm. and then go on.
Right.
But, you know, as you begin to say those words over and over and over with your heart open to them, they become who you are. Mm-hmm.
It's the entrance.
Yeah. You are becoming one in covenant with him.
That's right.
Because you're proclaiming his word on the matter over and over, and it's becoming who you are. And the thing of it is, you know, the word is this thing. It is what you need. Mm-hmm. But when you begin to proclaim it, and when you let it enter, and you begin to receive, and you begin to do these things, it's not just what you need, it becomes what you want. Mm-hmm. It becomes the desire of your heart.
Right.
And every word points to who?
Right.
Him.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
That's right.
Because he is the word.
And Psalms 45 says, my tongue is the pen of a skillful writer.
Oh.
You know, so you're speaking and you're seeing as God sees. Mm-hmm. You know, my situation is pretty rough. There was even some witchcraft being prayed over my prodigal through a voodoo. This is Louisiana, so there was some voodoo stuff going on. And I'm not saying that as a saying. It's the actual practice of voodoo going on. And so I would hear these stories, and I would hear of the car wrecks and the different things that are going on. And I would get, you can't see me on the radio, but I'm shaking my hands. Like, I would get anxious. I would get, oh God, what am I going to do? And I would cry sometimes. And even Todd told me, man, you're handling this pretty well from the stories you're hearing. And I said, oh no, it's not anything in me. I said, if I didn't have the word, I would run back and say, God, you said you're going to persuade her. God, you said you're leading her to the wilderness. God, you said, so shall your descendants be. God, you said you would contend with the one who contends me. And my children, you will save my children. And you said in Jeremiah, I think it's 24, that I will give them a heart to know me. And it even says, he said, I'll watch over them. You know, and then I'll give them a heart to know me. And man, I'd run. I mean, I would literally run to the word because I couldn't handle it. Right. I'd be like, you know, and I'd even try to call that person. They wouldn't answer. That makes it 10 times worse. So I just have to lay it down. I said, God, I'm running back here. And my tongue is a pen of a skillful writer. And I will write your hearts on the tablet of my heart. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For even as the heavens, you know, that's what he would tell me. And so you can see, okay, I see her running back. I see them coming back, because there's more than one. I see them coming. I see them lifting their hands in church like I used to see them. I see them playing on a keyboard like I used to see them, you know. And I'd have to say, God, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. I know it's here. Because I see it as you see. Mm-hmm. And that's what, and that's not just for praying for others. It's for anything in our lives.
Is that like seeing the end from the beginning?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what
we know. We know the end of the book, right?
That's what we know as the eye of faith. Right? So you stayed in it long enough till it gave you an image.
Right.
And once that image came,
if I didn't,
you're fully persuaded.
Well, it's the mirror thing. If I didn't see, I know it's about us, but if I didn't see as he sees, I couldn't handle it.
That's right.
You know, I couldn't function. I know I could, but I'm saying in myself.
Not the same way.
It would be like, oh, I'm just waiting on a phone, you know, or something like that,
right,
you know.
Right.
But that's what Abraham did. He believed in God who gives life to the dead and called things into existence that do not exist. And he believed hope against hope. Sometimes I'd say that, God, hope against hope. Hope against hope,
yeah,
God.
I mean, you know, that's one thing about Isaiah in that scripture that always amazed me about Isaiah. He believed God, knowing that even if God had to raise Isaac from the dead.
That's right.
Well, it said he received him
right.
in a figure.
Yeah. Right.
But that's that image we're just talking about. He done said it so many times that he saw it.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to see it that way.
That's right.
Or you won't make it, you know. And that's why there's so many people, honestly, on medications. And I don't criticize anybody for that.
Yeah,
Please take your medication if that's what God says. But there's a better answer. When I went through bad situations, I went to a doctor one time over another situation, and she asked me about my blood pressure. And so I had to tell her, you know, that what the situation was going on. And she said, well, let me give you this, you know, and it'll just take the edge off.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, no, God takes the edge off for me. Yes, God, amen. God right. gives me that's that peace. Right. And so I ran to the Word. But if not, I would need medication in some of the situations, as we can all say. But the Word. So just encourage you this morning. Don't just read a scripture just to, like Karen said, check off the box. I went to church, check. I read the Word, check. I sang the songs, check. And I didn't drink this week, check, whatever. Yeah, it's right. more than that. It's seeing as God sees. Mm-hmm. And you believe, hope against hope, and you strengthen your faith every day, mm-hmm. every day.
You know, that's what he seated you together that's with him right. in heavenly places Amen. For.
That's right.
Not so, so you could run around and say, I got authority. No, he sits you up there so you could see something.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See as he sees. Yes.
We know how this is going to end, don't we?
I know how it's going to end. It's going to end just like he said.
That's right.
And
that's right.
one of the
that's
keys right. also, though, is to give him glory in
that's
it.
That's right.
I give God glory now. Mm-hmm. Over there's three prodigals in my life. There's three families members mm-hmm. that I am saying, God,
yeah.
I know. And two of them were on the worship team. Three of them were on the worship team at one time in their life, worshiping God, hands lifted high. So I have that visual in my mind. And I say, God, I see. One of them does sign language. I see it. I see it. And I see the keyboard and I see the microphone. Because that's what you see, not just because of the past, mm-hmm. but because that's how you still see them.
That's where he's taking
that's
you
where,
to.
Yeah, that's right.
He's working you there.
And taking them there.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
and that's the key.
You know, I say, especially when I'm dealing with my prodigal,
yeah.
I say, Lord, would you do for her what you did for me?
Mm.
I mean, that's not a little catchphrase.
Right.
Your heart's in it.
He brought me. He caused me to see him. Mm-hmm. He caused mm-hmm. me to hear him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He caused me to hunger after him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, because the Bible's clear. You don't come unless he draws you.
Draws.
And so I said, could you just do for her what you did for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And set him up.
I have a lot of confidence. Yeah. Set her up.
Set him up.
set
our homies up.
But, you know, there's probably people listening today that when we hit the prodigal word, it touched a lot of lives.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe even, you know, I say this a lot to in Bible study or whatever, but the best thing you can do for your children outside of mm-hmm. what Crystal's talking about today is being fully persuaded that God will move in their mm-hmm. lives.
Yes.
But also, whatever you go on with the Lord as mm-hmm. hard as you can go
right.
with all of your heart, because that's the best thing you can do for them, because they see you. And they get what you get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is an inheritance involved here.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
A spiritual inheritance. And, you know, there's a... How many times have you seen grandma die and everybody come to the Lord?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it true? I mean, why couldn't y'all do that while she was
so she could see you? Yeah. Yeah.
But what is it? Because her life set the example.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
And it penetrated and mm-hmm. it got there. And I don't know why it takes so long. Sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
But here's what it does do, though. It happens.
That's know? Right.
It happens. So go on with the Lord yourself. With all your heart seeking,
yeah,
you know, skip a few TV shows and mm-hmm. give him some time. Amen.
Just speak his word. Let and your yes. tongue be the...
Find out what he's
the ready writer.
The ready writer.
The pen of the ready writer.
Right, that's right.
You know, let your mouth declare his words
right.
over your children and then rejoice.
That's right. And give him glory.
Give him glory
and see him as he yeah. sees.
Can comes
we,
back
can
to
we
that.
Pray real quick?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just feel the urge to pray if y'all yeah. don't care. I don't want to take over here.
But
come on,
you're good.
The guest.
All right. Well, Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, God. And I thank you for these ladies and the anointing in the room for Pastor Aaron, Brother Roger out there. And God, I just thank you for this radio program that can go out and proclaim the Word of God. It's not just about songs, God, but it's about the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you that we have the privilege of coming here, God, and speaking the word this morning. Mm-hmm. And God, I do pray for each one that is out there, even for our prodigals, God. I pray this morning for the prodigals. God, you You hear the cry of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And God, I know sometimes I'd hear a bad news on Saturday night and I'd go to church and be on the worship team the next morning saying, God, I exalt you. I exalt you, God, because of your word. Yes, all Lord. I have is your word right now, God. Mm-hmm. A word spoken from you, but that's all I need, God.
That's right.
And Lord, I thank you that you're going to persuade our prodigals into the wilderness, God, and speak tenderly to them, as it says in Hosea, that Lord, you're going to give them their vineyards back to them and make the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope, God.
Yes.
And there they will respond as they did in the days of their youth, God.
Thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, Father, that you're going to move. God, you said where two or three are gathered, we could ask, God. And we're gathered here with four or five and all the radio audience out there, God. And we believe, God.
Yes.
We believe for all the prodigals, God. And we stand on your word as Abraham did, God. We strengthen ourselves in faith. We give glory this morning, God. And we are fully convinced that what you promised in your word, God, you are also able to perform it. And God, we thank you. Lord, we pray for the church services that gather, that God, every word we spoke will come to pass as far as pastors and ministers. Lord, not worrying about the time, getting the clock off the wall, God, and just begin to say, God, have your way, God, have your way. Lord, don't ever let us miss an opportunity, as Jeannie said, that Lord, when the Lord says, I'm ready to move, and people are walking out. God, let those times cease, God. Let those times cease, God. And we just worship you this morning, God. And we thank you for your word, God. We thank you that we eat it today, God.
Yes.
And it is truly a delight to us, God. In Jesus' name, God.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I trust in God.
My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
Amen.
All right.
I sought
God.
The Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God.
Amen. Yes, we love you guys. Yes, yes. Thank you all so much. We'll be back here tomorrow, 7 a.m. on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.